The Trial of Chad Daybell. Special coverage on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to KSL at Night. I'm your host this evening, Greg Skordas, KSL legal analyst, and I was at the trial of Chad Daybell yesterday, left early this morning. Back in the studio, I have to say this, I've thoroughly enjoyed being the KSL legal analyst, and it's taught me a lot. I practiced law for 42 years. I've done KSL legal analyst for probably 42 months. Not the same, but it's given me an outside perspective of the law. I still practice. I still go to court. I've done, three trials this year. But I watch trials now in a way that I haven't before. In fact, if as an attorney, you just don't watch trials. You don't watch other people try cases. You think you have an idea what people do just from sitting in or walking through or catching the end of a trial or something. But so I sat in the Chad Daybell trial just as I did Lori's almost a year to the day earlier and watched the proceedings. And of course, it's easy and maybe a little bit unfair as an attorney to play armchair quarterback and look at what's going on and say, well, I would do this differently and I would do that differently. And yes, I would do a lot of what's happened in that trial differently. That's not to say better or worse, just different. And I'm not going to break that down because that's unfair to the attorneys involved in the case. They won, the prosecution won the Lori Vallow case. They won that trial. And with respect to Chad's, I was interested in the opening statements. And I know that's not a really sexy part of a trial, opening statements. It's really not. And if you ever watch movies about trials, you rarely see opening statements. I mean, you look at some of the great movies, To Kill a Mockingbird, A Time to Kill, and my favorite, The Verdict with Paul Newman, and they're all about those closing arguments. They're just so compelling. And I mean, that's what makes the world go round. And there's a difference between closing argument and opening statements. And the word is argument. You can't argue in your opening remarks. So I watched those yesterday. But more importantly, I got to the courtroom early. I don't sit in courtrooms and watch other things, except when you're just waiting for your name to be called. But the judge was, as usual, late getting started. He was back with the attorneys. But for whatever reason, and we're talking day one, the first day of actual trial. And the jury is there, although they weren't in the courtroom yet. And Chad Daybell had been brought in. He was sitting at counsel table, the defense table, of course, which was sitting sort of perpendicular to us so we could see him. He was facing crossways to us. We weren't looking at his back, in other words. And he just sat there. And I felt a little sorry for him in this respect. I mean, it's hard to feel sorry for the guy. But he was sitting in this courtroom, and it was packed, and he's alone. He's alone in front of all these people who are watching him, kind of looking at him, kind of wondering what he's going to look like. He had his little shirt and tie on. His hair was closely cut. He was not shackled, as I would have maybe expected, because he is in custody. But he just sat there and looked straight ahead at the wall. I mean, just straight ahead at where the jury would have ultimately ended up sitting. Didn't look at any of us in the audience, obviously, because I assume there were some people there that he didn't want to make eye contact with for obvious reasons. And I just got this sense of tremendous discomfort from him. He's kind of a milquetoast kind of guy. You don't know much about him. Lori's probably the more flamboyant, the more, just more outgoing. Chad, maybe not so much, although he was writing books and sort of promoting his ideas and his light and dark concepts. Even when the lawyers came in, his lawyer did something that I tried to avoid doing. And again, he had his reasons for doing this, but the counsel table is big enough for four people. And so if you can imagine four chairs, Chad was in chair one and lawyer was in chair four. there were room for two people between them. I don't know about the optics of that. I just think you want to get close to your client. You want to show the jury that you're comfortable with the person. You want to sort of chat with them and maybe, put your hand on them every once in a while. These two men were kind of far apart. In fact, it was a little awkward when they spoke because they had to lean over so far. Nonetheless, I mean, that's just optics. That's just me. And I don't know whether the jury or anyone else picked up on that. It's just something that I think about when I watch trials and when I do trials. And then, of course, the state began with its opening remarks. they used a PowerPoint, and you know, it didn't work particularly well. They couldn't get the graphics to work. He had a microphone, and the microphone battery didn't work, or for some reason it didn't work particularly well. But the prosecutor did an adequate job. And I taught trial advocacy. I actually taught at the National College of District Attorneys, and one of the things we taught was putting on a trial right from the opening get-go. And so in terms of, you know, if you think about opening statement, the fundamentals of what you do, the attorney hit them all. He outlined his case. He wasn't argumentative very much. He was very clear and concise on what the state was going to do. I would have liked it to be maybe twice as long as it was, because it told a picture. But what it didn't do, and what I think the state is in some respects obligated to do, tell the jury how they're going to put the picture on. He told the jury the picture of the case. But I think opening statements are to tell the jury how you're going to establish that. We're going to call a witness who's going to talk about this. We're going to call a witness who's going to talk about that. Instead of this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened. Chad meets Lori. He's this regular guy beforehand. Next thing you know, this person's dead. This person's dead. This person's dead. Chad's here. Chad's there. I mean, tell us who your witnesses are. Tell us how you're going to prove that. Don't just tell us what the story is. Again, armchair quarterback, I'll get off that for just a moment. And then it came to the defense, and we were all, at least I was, dying to see what the defense was going to do. Because if you recall, in Lori Vallow's trial a year ago, the defense said, we don't think the state has much of a case. And they didn't present a case at all, even in their opening statements, in their closing remarks. And they didn't call a single witness. They just said, the state has a weak case. We don't think you're going to be able to hear enough evidence to find our client guilty. Of course, that strategy didn't work. Lori was found guilty. So I knew that Chad's attorney couldn't do that same strategy. But I thought he might not give an opening at all. It was sort of, you know, when the state was finished, he asked for a recess. We're kind of wondering what he's doing. Usually you just jump right in. But he did give an opening. It was short. He talked about, you know, look for facts, not just suppositions. Look for evidence, not just hypotheses. In other words, sort of the same thing Lori's attorney said, which is make the state prove their case. But then he talked about witnesses that he was going to call, and he didn't really explain he did explain who they were and not exactly what they were going to say. But importantly, he's calling four expert witnesses. One is a DNA expert who's probably going to rebut the state's DNA to the extent that any DNA of Chad's was found on any item of evidence related to the deaths of these three individuals. So we're talking about Lori's children, Tylee and JJ, and Chad's wife at the time, Tammy. So a DNA expert and a hair expert. A fingerprint expert. That's what it was, to rebut the evidence about fingerprints, and he called it an anthropological forensic expert. Anyway, to talk about the remains that were found of these children, the bones of JJ, you know, what was left of Tylee, and to talk about what really could be determined from that, where the state has determined certain causes of death, certain types of trauma. Maybe this expert's going to say something else. And then because Tammy's death is a new one that wasn't part of the case against Lori, he's going to call a medical examiner expert. The state is going to have a medical examiner say she died as a result of a homicide. And I can assume only that the reason Chad's lawyer would call a medical examiner would be say that there isn't sufficient evidence to show that Chad's wife died as a result of a homicide. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I'll be sort of watching how those experts play themselves out. Chad's five children are going to testify. I don't know what they're going to say, but this is going to be a little more interesting trial than we had with Lori. Nonetheless, we'll watch second week when it starts next week, and I will be watching that closely, and hopefully I'll talk to you more about it then. We will be back tomorrow night. I'll be back with a new host, Rusty Cannon, who's only done one or two shows. I'm looking forward to working with him. And we'll see you tomorrow night at the same time. Remember, if you missed any segment of the show, you can go back to kslpodcast.com after the show has been aired and just look up KSL at night. Good evening.